A throat cleared behind me, and I looked up as Levi sat down next to me. I hadn't seen him for a little while. I'd been dancing with some of the girls instead. He was loosening his tie and cocked his head at me. "You cold?" I shrugged, and he slipped his arms out of his suit jacket, offering it to me. I put the jacket round my shoulders. It smelled like his aftershave, which did smell really good. I had to work not to bury my face in the shoulder and sniff it. "Thanks."
"Guess you didn't feel like taking this last dance?"
"Not so much that. I just didn't want to be around all the couples, you know? Everyone hugging and kissing and being sappy. Don't get me wrong, it's adorable and romantic. But that's exactly what I don't want to see right now."
"I get it. You know, this is the first school dance I've been to since Julie broke up with me. I know how you feel."
I leaned sideways, resting my head on Levi's shoulder. "Breakups suck."
"Yep."
"Do you still miss Julie?"
"Sometimes. Less than I used to. It gets easier, don't worry. But maybe it won't be so easy for you because you're going to see Noah again, like over the holidays. Thanksgiving and Christmas and stuff. I don't see Julie anymore, and I think that helped me get over her."
I smirked and laid the sarcasm on thick. "Wow, thanks. That's really encouraging, Levi."
"Sorry."
I nudged him with my head. "It's okay."
"It'll get easier," he reiterated.
"Yeah."
"In the meantime, though..."
Levi eased his shoulder from under my head and stood up. I sat up straighter and looked at him, silhouetted against the lights from the parking lot, tall and lean, and his curls a little wild from the night of dancing. He was holding out a hand and smiling at me.
"Wanna dance?"
I smiled back.
"Why not?"
I let Levi pull me up and set his jacket on the bench, putting my arms around his shoulders. Levi's hands held my waist, and we swayed side to side. I couldn't help but compare him to Noah. The arms around me weren't as strong, the shoulders not as broad. There was no heat, no spark, no tension between us. No desire to pull myself flush against him like I was used to feeling with Noah. Nothing that made me catch my breath and lean to kiss him. But there was something soft and sweet about it. Something comfortable and easy. The song was almost over, and so was the dance. But while it lasted, it was nice. I groaned, rolling over and burying my face in my pillow. My head hurt, my feet hurt, my throat hurt. I pulled my face out of the pillow, remembering the night before. Sadie Hawkins, dancing with Levi. At the after party, I'd had maybe one too many beers and had sat outside moaning to Dixon and Cam about how much I missed Noah and how I shouldn't have broken up with him and how much I hated that bitch Amanda for coming between us and being everything I wasn't and, apparently, everything Noah was looking for and how much of an asshole Noah was for hiding things from me. I probably deserved the headache. I hadn't gotten in past curfew, at least. I remembered walking through the door promptly at 1 a.m. My dad had been awake, asked me how the dance in the party had been, and I'd done a good enough job of not looking drunk enough to warrant being grounded. I sat up slowly, rubbing my hands over my face. It was only 9 in the morning, according to the clock on my nightstand, so I settled back against my pillows and picked up my cell phone, checking my messages. There was a notification from Rachel. She'd tagged me in a post. I found she'd uploaded a bunch of photos from the dance last night, including one of me and Lee acting like dorks on the dance floor, and the one of Levi and me in the kissing booth. I stared at the photo for a while. It was nice. I looked good in it, my dress flattering, my hair cute. And the more I looked at it, the more I thought how good Levi looked beside me. I hit the like button.
When I opened my text to respond to someone in our group chat, my heart stopped for a second and my eyes bugged out of my skull, and then I felt like retching. There was a text to my dad to say I was on my way back from the party, and before that, I'd texted Noah. I miss you so much. Kiss, 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 kiss. Shit. Shit, shit, shit. I clicked to see what the damage was and was kind of relieved to find I'd only sent the one text. I'd have been even more mortified if I'd sent him 24 pining texts. God, that would have been a total disaster. But even so, one was pretty bad. My cell said that I'd sent the message at 12:24, which I was sure was when I was sitting outside with the guys. I must have been a little more drunk than I'd thought. I was an idiot. My shoulders tensed up as I stared at the message and the little red 7:58 message underneath it. What did I do now? Noah had seen it, and there was no way I could take it back. He'd obviously decided to ignore it, since I knew he'd seen it over an hour ago. So what did that mean? Did he hate me? Or did he just figure I wasn't worth replying to? I swallowed the lump in my throat and ran a hand through my hair, my fingers getting caught in some knots. Should I text him and apologize? Say I was drunk and didn't mean to send it? Should I ignore it too? I tried typing out an apology first. Ha ha ha! Just seen the text I sent you last night. Sorry about that. Had one too many at the party after Sadie Hawkins. I looked at the text, hesitating over the send button. It looked forced. It looked fake. I didn't want him to think I was full of regret pining for him, even if I kinda was. And what if he didn't reply to that either? Or what if he did reply and say it was okay, and that he knew I didn't miss him? He didn't miss me either? Worse, what if he replied and said he missed me too? I deleted the reply I'd typed out and set down my phone, closing my eyes. If I'd thought being with Noah long distance was hard, getting over him was so much harder. Chapter 18. In an attempt to really start getting over Noah, I decided to spend the whole day focusing on myself. After watching some YouTube videos, eating a breakfast big enough to cure my hangover, and finishing an essay for my history class, I was feeling pretty collected and motivated. I decided to try tackling my college application essay again. I'd made some progress on it over the last week. Maybe today would be the day I actually finished it. I typed out a few new paragraphs before I read over the whole thing. It was almost there. All I needed was a good conclusion, but I knew it'd help if I read back over everything I'd written first. The more words I read, the more I wondered why I'd wasted my time writing this crap in the first place. The elation I'd felt at thinking I'd almost finished vanished. I had to write about something I'd felt had inspired me, and I wasn't feeling very inspired rereading my essay. I'd been thinking about this damn essay so much and rewriting pieces of it for weeks now. All that work and stress, and for what? This piece of crap on the screen now? The words on the screen started to blur, mushing together until I couldn't see them. I clicked the mouse furiously, highlighting random words, wondering what the hell was going on, until I sniffled and realized I was on the verge of crying. Again. God, I was such a loser. I couldn't even keep it together over a single stupid essay. I'd never get into college. I couldn't even write a damn essay. How the hell would I manage to make it through 4 years of college? I didn't even know what I wanted to do with my life yet. I had no idea what I wanted to major in. I'd talked to my dad and the career counselor they'd brought into school, and told the teachers who'd asked me that I wanted to major in English, because then I'd have some options. And I got my best grades in English Lit, so why not? And here I was, sobbing, and wailing a bit too, over my computer because I couldn't even string a decent sentence together. My bedroom door opened, and since the figure, blurred beyond recognition by the tears in my eyes that just wouldn't go away, was too short to be my dad, I figured it had to be my brother. "Get out!" I wailed, my words hitching on a sob. "Go away! Leave me alone!" Brad hovered in the doorway, and then I got angry. I didn't know why. I was just suddenly overwhelmingly furious that I couldn't even wallow in self-pity and peace. "Elle, what's the matter?" He was being really sweet, for a change. He was genuinely worried about me. And it only made me feel even angrier. "Get out! Leave me alone!" Eventually, Brad shut the door and I stopped, collapsing over my desk and crying into my arms. I probably looked about as pathetic as I felt, but now I'd started crying, I couldn't stop. I hated this kind of crying. What if I never finished the essay and never made it to college? I'd disappoint my dad and myself, and Lee would go to college without me and forget all about me. And the thoughts kept swirling, a vicious whirlpool dragging me further and further down. I slammed my laptop shut, unable to take the glare of the screen, the essay on it mocking me. The door opened again. I was ready to tell my little brother or dad to get out and just let me be, but there was someone else standing behind my brother. Levi. The words died on my tongue. "I thought maybe you could use a friend," Brad said quietly. I sniffled again and managed a teeny tiny smile. Brad smiled back awkwardly. He wasn't used to being this nice to me either, and then backed out of the room. Levi clapped him on the shoulder and smiled at Brad before coming into my room. He sat on the end of my bed, facing me, and I moved to sit next to him, leaning my head on his shoulder. Levi didn't seem to mind. Then he put his arm around me. "I was gonna ask if you're okay, but I think that's a pretty dumb question. You look like shit." I nudged him half-heartedly. "It's the college application essay. I can't do it. I don't know what to write about. And what I do write sucks. I want to go to college, but I can't do that if I don't write this essay and... Hey, come on." He squeezed his arm tighter around my shoulders. "Your whole life isn't riding on whether you go to college or not, you know? Look at me. I'm not gonna go. I'm taking a year out to work and earn some money and try to figure out what I want to do. I'm not going to waste 4 years and rack up all that debt for something I'm not sure about. Maybe that's something you want to think about." I picked at a chip in my nail polish. Pretty much every time I sit down and hit a block with my essay, I think, maybe I should just do this next year. But I don't want to get left behind. It took him a second. Lee. Lee had been working so hard to get into Brown and keeping his grades up and working hard on the football team, trying to make a name for himself. And from what I could tell, he was doing a damn good job of it. They'd even stopped calling him Little Flynn now. Lee had football. Rachel had drama club. Some of the other guys did sports or band. Sure, I had track now, but I didn't really compete or anything. I'd even given up on hearing back from any of the after-school jobs I'd sent out applications for. I felt like I was a step behind them all somehow. Yeah, and even if Lee didn't factor into it, I want to go to college. I do. It's just, like you said, I'm not sure what I really want to do with my life after college. And it's terrifying to think that what I do now commits me to that for the next few years, you know? "Not really," he said, sounding disturbingly upbeat for my current mood. "So you have to pick a major. You can always change it. And unless you pick something really specialized, you're not limiting yourself that much. Hell, you could do anything. work on the next Mars rover, run promotion for a baseball team, open a vineyard, be a kindergarten teacher. I gave a weak smile. The sky's the limit? Well, we've all seen Mean Girls. We all know that the limit doesn't exist. I did laugh at that. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk, he added, making me laugh again. How about this? I'll read your essay. We'll work on it together. It can't be that bad that we can't make it work. That actually didn't sound so bad, although it did make me feel like an idiot for not just asking someone for help on it before. I twisted to hug him. Thanks, Levi. You're the best. He hesitated before hugging me back. I'm always here for you, Elle. Levi stuck around for dinner, and by the time he left later that evening, my application was pretty much ready to go. I couldn't believe how much better I felt, and couldn't thank him enough. When I thanked him again as he was putting on his shoes to go, he laughed. If you really want to thank me, you can come to the aquarium with me tomorrow. I promised I'd take Becca. It'd be nice to have some company. A day at the aquarium sounded great, so the next morning Levi picked me up, and Becca was totally hyper with excitement the whole ride. She talked a mile a minute about how her first ballet class had gone, and her ballet teacher and the girls at ballet, and the recital they were putting on at Christmas, which made her start talking about Christmas. I oohed and aahed in all the right places, asking her questions to prompt her on. Levi caught my eye with a shameless smile that said, "Rather you than me." Inside the aquarium, it wasn't very busy. There were mostly families there, with young kids, a handful of couples on dates. Which, I had to admit, did make me feel a little awkward. I knew it wouldn't have been awkward if I were here with Lee, but this wasn't Lee. It was Levi. And that made it just a little bit weird. I must have looked uneasy as we followed Becca, who was dashing between the tanks of manta rays and starfish and eels like they'd disappear soon, because Levi turned and grabbed my elbow gently, looking at me with concern. "Hey," he said, voice soft. "Everything okay?" "Huh? Yeah, it's fine. I'm fine." "Are you sure? You look a bit weird." "Oh, no, I'm... Are you thinking about Noah?" I wasn't, actually, and was surprised to realize it. I wasn't thinking about what it would be like to come here with Noah, or wishing that Noah and I were one of the couples walking around hand in hand. I was just thinking that, despite Levi's little sister's presence, it felt like this was kind of a date. But it was easier to say, "Yeah." Levi gave me a sympathetic smile. "You'll get over him, you know. I'm not saying you'll forget you ever loved him, but it'll get easier to not love him anymore. You sound like you write for Cosmo or something." Levi just laughed, and Becca drew our attention by squealing loudly. "Oh my God, look at this! It's huge!" As we made our way around the aquarium, I relaxed enough to manage to enjoy myself. Becca, it turned out, had a lot of random trivia about jellyfish to tell me. Like, "Did you know jellyfish can clone themselves? Like, you can cut one in half, and then you just get two jellyfish. I read it online." And, "Jellyfish don't have brains, just like Levi." She kept reading the information cards nailed next to the tanks out loud to us, excited about each new type of fish. Levi hung back a little as Becca grabbed my hand to haul me after her to the next tank, after giving up on trying to find the hermit crabs in the one we'd just spent 10 minutes at. I glanced over my shoulder at him as Becca pressed her nose to the glass, peering in with wide eyes. "What's that smile for?" I asked him. It was a weird sort of smile, not exactly his usual. Small and thoughtful. A kind of smile that made me feel warm and blush and tuck some hair behind my ear as I smiled back. It seemed to change quickly once I'd pointed it out, back to the easy smile I was used to seeing. It's just nice for Becca to have a girl to hang out with. What about you? You're not enjoying my company too? I teased, and he rolled his eyes. I probably shouldn't think about that smile or what it might mean. I always enjoy your company, Elle. Now get over yourself. I laughed, and then Becca said, "Hey, Levi, come look at this," and broke whatever moment was going on. Later, when we were standing at the shark tank watching the sharks swim overhead and around us, with Becca occasionally making a soft ooh of awe, I felt Levi looking at me. He was close enough that his arm was pressed against mine, a fact I suddenly became hyper aware of. I had to make an effort not to stare right back at him. Glancing quickly out of the corner of my eye, I noticed he had that same weird smile on his face as he'd had earlier. And it made my stomach feel different. I didn't have butterflies exactly, but it was something similar. Because it was the kind of look I always saw Lee giving Rachel when he didn't think anyone was looking, and it was the kind of look I used to catch Noah giving me sometimes when he didn't think I'd seen him. Becca stood a couple of yards away. I knew that if I turned and looked at Levi now, there would be something. Enough of a something that he might kiss me. I swallowed, my mouth suddenly dry. I realized that I wanted him to kiss me. And then my cell phone rang. The noise was loud, violent almost, in the quiet of the aquarium tunnel. I flinched, and the people around us looked over at me as I fumbled in my purse for my cell, finally finding it and pulling it out. It was Lee.
"Hey," he said before I could say anything. "Where are you? I just went to your house and your dad said you'd gone out for the day with Levi."
"We're at the aquarium."
"The aquarium?"
The shock in Lee's voice was palpable.
"What, like just the two of you? Like a date?"
I stole another glance at Levi, who I'd just been very much thinking about kissing, who I'd sort of almost kissed. And I told Lee, "We're with Becca, you know, Levi's little sister. He promised to bring her to the aquarium and wanted some company."
"Oh," Lee said,
and I was sure it was relief I could hear in his voice.
"Okay, well."
He trailed off, clearing his throat, and I got a nervous feeling in the pit of my stomach. Whatever he'd called me about, it was serious. "Lee, is everything okay?"
"I can just tell you later when you get home. It's okay."
He tried to sound casual, but totally failed. I knew him too well for him to play something serious off like it was nothing. He'd gone over to my house to look for me, wanting to tell me something. Panic seeped through me. "Is it Rachel? Did you guys have a fight or something?"
"Oh no, it isn't about me and Rachel. Seriously, don't worry. I'll just tell you when you get back."
"Lee," I snapped. The way he was avoiding whatever it was, and the fact that it was so important that he wanted to tell me in person, terrified me. "What's going on? Please." He sighed.
"Okay, well, my mom just got off the phone with Noah about how he's coming home for Thanksgiving."
Lee paused, waiting for my reaction. Even though I was dreading seeing Noah at Thanksgiving dinner, I couldn't avoid it, and I knew that. I just had to suck it up for that one day and be polite to him, just like I sucked it up now and tried to sound like I didn't care. "Yeah, well, I figured he would be. What about it?" Lee drew in a deep breath and let it out slowly. It whistled, crackling down the line. My palms began to sweat.
"He's bringing a friend back home for Thanksgiving, too, is all. And I thought you should hear it from me first."
"A friend? But who was Noah that close with that he'd..." "No. No, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't. Not after everything that had happened. He wouldn't dare." But maybe I was jumping to conclusions.
God,
I hoped I was jumping to conclusions.
You mean like Steve?
I could hear the desperation in my own voice, and I hated it. Hated the way I clutched at my phone with both of my clammy hands.
His roommate? Or what's his name that he hangs out with from football? David? Dave?
Yeah, that's not who he's bringing home for Thanksgiving.
Lee?
Shelley, he's bringing Amanda.
Even though I was expecting him to say that, the air rushed out of my lungs and I put a hand against the nearest wall, the glass of the tank, for support, feeling dizzy. I was pretty sure that my heart had shattered before when I broke up with Noah, but that was nothing compared to how I felt now. The floor seemed to swim beneath me. There was a ringing in my ears. The tang at the back of my throat made me wonder if I was going to puke.
Shelley? Lee was saying. You still there? Rochelle? Elle?
Yeah, I said. My voice sounded strangled. I took a few deep breaths, suppressing the feeling of nausea. Something else filled the void pretty quickly, though, as I got hold of myself. Anger.
You okay?
Okay? I hissed, dropping my voice to a whisper. I noticed a couple of people looking at me and I staggered a few feet farther away. Of course I'm not fucking okay, Lee. You saw that photo of them on Facebook. I told you about that conversation I overheard between them the day we broke up. And now he's bringing her home for Thanksgiving dinner when he knows I'll be there? To rub it in my face? I'm pretty fucking far from okay.
Whoa, Shelley, okay, I get it. Chill out, Lee said, sounding frantic.
I didn't often use the F word, same as Lee. But if there was any time for it, it was now.
I just figured you should know now, rather than be surprised on Thanksgiving Day.
Thanks for telling me, I said, through clenched teeth. But it wasn't Lee I was mad at, and we both knew that.
I can't believe he'd do that to me. I know we're broken up now, so he's totally entitled to sleep with her and date her and whatever. But to bring her home with him like that, this soon after, it's just, God, I can't believe he'd do that. What kind of asshole?
Elle? It was Levi now, saying my name. He was standing in front of me, touching my shoulder with a frown on his face. I held up a finger to signal 1 minute to him and focused on what Lee was saying.
I know you're not over him, Shelley, and that you're heartbroken over the whole breakup, but if it's any consolation, he told my mom she's just a friend.
She's not just a friend, Lee. She's not, and we both know that.
Well, he said cautiously. We don't know for sure they're hooking up.
Oh, so now I'm just making stuff up?
No, I didn't say that. You know I didn't.
I let out a deep breath.
I'm sorry.
You know it's not you I'm mad at.
I know. Look, text me when you get home and I'll come over and see you and we can talk about it more then, yeah?
Okay.
Say hi to Levi for me. See you later.
Bye. I said, hanging up and dropping my cell back into my purse. I looked up at Levi.
What was that all about? Is everything okay?
I shook my head and wasn't surprised when my eyes filled with tears. I blinked them away, but one fell down my cheek before I could get rid of it.
Noah's bringing Amanda home for Thanksgiving.
Levi just pursed his lips and said,
Oh, crap.
I had the same conversation with both Lee and Levi, and now I was having it again with my dad. I just needed to vent about it, a lot, repeatedly, like a broken, bitchy record. Brad was taking a shower before bed, so it was just me and my dad sitting downstairs in the living room with mugs of hot chocolate as I told him exactly how much I hated Noah. I told my dad we'd broken up because of the distance. But now I told him everything. I was too furious to keep it in. I mean, I said for the billionth time, he knows how much trouble she was causing between us. She's practically the reason we broke up. First the photo and then the phone call. I knew they were close and I wanted to trust him when he said he didn't cheat on me with her. And I was kind of expecting them to get together once I broke up with him, if they were that close. But the fact that he's bringing her home when he knows I'll be there? Like, okay, maybe if she'd come to visit around Christmas time, then fine, because I might have moved on by then. But it's only been a couple of weeks. My dad wasn't saying much. He just nodded and went, mm-hmm, in the right places, and let me get it out of my system. He nodded again now while I paused to draw a breath. And the fact that he's moved on so quickly that he's already close enough to her to bring her home for the holidays really gets me. I mean, he can't have been that upset about our breakup if he's already with her seriously enough to do that.
Didn't Lee say that they're just friends, though?
I scoffed. That's what Noah told his mom. I just told you about the phone call I overheard. They've got to be together. I mean, she's really pretty. She's so pretty. And she's smart, too. They have all these classes together. She can talk about all kinds of stuff with him I just wouldn't get. When are guys like Noah ever not with girls like her?
Elle, I know I'm not the best at this, but, well, maybe you're looking at this the wrong way. It didn't work out with you and Noah, and you need to move on, like you've said. This can be your chance to show him you have.
But I haven't. Well, not really. Just because I'd wanted to kiss Levi earlier didn't mean I'd moved on from Noah completely.
And if he's bringing his new girlfriend home for the holidays, do you want him to know you're still hung up on him?
I hadn't thought about it like that. So, pretend that I am over him? My dad shrugged.
If it makes you feel better.
I let myself imagine it in my mind, me greeting Noah and Amanda really politely, with a big smile that said I didn't care if they were dating now because I was totally over it, and Noah's let-down expression when he realized I wasn't chasing after him anymore, that I didn't miss him, actually. He could bring her home to flaunt in front of my face, and I would show him how little I cared about him in return. See how he liked that. I guess I could do that.
It might help you actually get over him, my dad said.
Maybe. Chapter 19. Maybe I should get a new boyfriend, I commented to Lee as we walked to class the following week. Not anything serious necessarily, but just, you know, to invite over on Thanksgiving to make a point to Noah.
I don't think that's the right reason to get a boyfriend, Lee said with a warning tone in his voice.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, so am I. What next, Elle? Revenge sex?
I laughed. With who? His roommate Steve on the other side of the country? Lee rolled his eyes and I gave him a pointed look. I'm not talking about that. Just... I sighed and ran a hand through my hair, tugging on the ends of it in frustration. I just can't stop thinking about it. About them. I also couldn't stop thinking about how close I'd come to kissing Levi.
I get that you're feeling betrayed, Shelley, but I really think you need to try to get over it. You're too hung up on this.
I am trying to get over it. I was, until he decided to bring her home for the holidays. I ground my teeth. I'd been doing that a lot the past few days, whenever I pictured Noah and Amanda sitting together at the table in his parents' dining room, their hands linked together on top of the table, them giving each other soppy, love-struck looks all the time. The part I hated most about that picture was how perfectly they seemed to go together.
What, like it would have been any easier to see Noah on his own if he's in a relationship with Amanda?
I sighed. Well, yeah. It's just, bringing her home for the holidays is pretty serious, right? And it's just making me wonder if maybe they did have something going on while we were still together.
One thing I know for sure is that my brother would never cheat on you.
I'm not saying he cheated necessarily, but maybe they were flirting a little and maybe there was chemistry. And maybe coming home to visit me was just a last-ditch effort to see if we still had chemistry like they do.
Shelley, seriously, you're overthinking this.
I waved him off, trying not to let the comment get to me. I knew I was overthinking it. I knew I was getting worked up over something that was probably nothing. I knew I was stressing out way too much about this whole thing. I knew that I shouldn't be letting myself think about Noah this much. But a big part of me was still in love with him, and that part was hurting too much to let this go. Levi tried to reassure me a few days later. It won't be so bad on the day, you'll see. He'll walk in with this girl Amanda and you'll realize you're not as hurt as you think you are. Seeing them together might help you get over him. But she's perfect, I whined to Levi. I'd convinced Rachel to take a little snoop on Noah's Facebook and Instagram profiles with me the other night. I'd resisted so far, but now I wanted to look. His relationship status still said single, but that didn't mean he didn't have anything going on with Amanda. That just meant he hadn't changed his Facebook status. There were a few updates from him about a great night with the guys or something similar, and photos that he'd been tagged in. Amanda was in a lot of those photos with him. They weren't kissing in any of them, but they had their arms around each other, and they looked couple-y. And she looked so much better than I did. She looked so grown up. Like she could have been a catalog model. Her skin was flawless. Her hair looked good in every single photo on Noah's profile. And even in the photos taken at parties where she had a drink in her hand, there wasn't an unattractive shot of her, not even with her eyes half closed or her mouth hanging open or anything. It was so unfair. I also told Levi so, and he just shrugged. Maybe she's got a really bad personality. Maybe she's really, really boring. I could only hope. I doubted it, though. As November slipped away and Thanksgiving drew closer, I did my best to stop focusing on the whole thing with my ex and his probably new girlfriend coming home, and I attacked my college applications with a furious passion. I even filled in an application for Brown, partly because I wanted to be with Lee, I did admit to my dad. I also applied to San Diego and a couple of others close by. Once I got one application done, I felt like I could handle more. I still didn't know what I really wanted to do after college, but my dad reassured me I'd figure it out. I convinced Rachel to come out one afternoon, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, to get mani-pedis with me. We hadn't hung out, just the two of us, outside school and not involving college applications in a long time. And I needed a girly afternoon before facing Noah and Amanda, I figured. Plus, I'd been trying to keep Levi at a distance. It didn't feel right to be hanging out with him, wondering if there was something between us when I was so preoccupied over Noah. How are you feeling about it? Rachel asked me when we sat down to grab a coffee. Okay, or still stressing out? Right now, I'm okay. If he wants to be a total jackass and do this, then fine, but I'm not going to let him know it's getting to me. Besides, I deserve better than someone who'll get over me that fast. I can't see how he did get over you that fast, though, Rachel said slowly. I mean, he loved you a lot. Everyone could see that. I kind of have to agree with Lee. Maybe Noah was telling June the truth and they're just friends. A friend he's bringing home for a major holiday that you usually spend with your family? Rachel sighed. Yeah, but he loved you so much. You can't just get over a relationship like the one you guys had like that. If they are dating or just hooking up or something, at least you can be pretty sure she's just a rebound. It probably won't last that long, if they are together. You think? Yeah, Rachel said with confidence. But when I glanced over at her expression, she didn't look so sure of herself.
Anyway, enough about me for now. I'm done stressing and being mad. I can totally handle it. I'm going to show him he doesn't have a hold on my heart anymore, even if that's not exactly true. How are things with you and Lee? Rachel's whole face lit up with a smile, and despite myself, I felt a pang of jealousy. So great. I really hope we both get into Brown next year because it kills me to think I might be away from him. And I hope you get in too, of course. I don't think Lee will be able to function properly if you're not around, she added quickly with a laugh that was a little awkward. But yeah, it's weird. I feel like it's been way longer than just a few months that we've been together. I feel like I've known him my whole life. And it's like, whenever Lee's around, I forget if I'm upset about anything or stressing out. He just makes me feel so much happier. That's great, I said, though my voice didn't have as much enthusiasm as I'd have liked. I was happy for them, even if I was a little bit jealous. Honestly, I'm glad you guys are doing so well. I've never seen Lee happier than when he's with you, or talking about you, or texting you, or thinking about you. I laughed. Rachel blushed a little. And? I said, dropping my voice and leaning a little bit closer. How's the sex life? She blushed even brighter, and I laughed. I'm teasing, I assured her. You don't have to answer that if you don't want to. I know it's probably weird talking to me about it because of how close I am with Lee. Rachel smiled at me, biting her lip. I honestly don't know what I was so scared about. Seriously, I thought it was going to be this really big deal, and it just wasn't. Should I pass that on to Lee? I joked. Oh God, please don't, she giggled. I just mean it's like, you hear everyone talking about it like it's such a major thing, and it just wasn't. In a good way, you know? I'd totally built it up in my head that it was something to be nervous about, and there was nothing to be nervous about. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Okay, so enough talk about my bedroom business, she said. Since the topic of the afternoon seems to be guys, I've been dying to ask, but I didn't really want to do it at school with everyone around. What's going on with you and Levi? I couldn't help the way my head snapped toward her. What about me and Levi? Well, you're always together, and you act all flirty. I don't flirt with him. Did everyone else notice that? Did he notice? I had barely even noticed I was doing it. Rachel pulled a face, unconvinced. You kind of do. And he flirts back. I'm telling you, Elle, everyone is convinced you're together. I don't. The last thing I needed was Rachel telling Lee that I had a crush on Levi and it getting out, especially when I hadn't even really worked out what my feelings toward him were yet. I don't have a crush on him, if that's what you're getting at, I told her, adding, besides, what's wrong with a little harmless flirting? She didn't look overly convinced, but she let it go, and I breathed a sigh of relief. I made Rachel come over to help me pick an outfit for Thanksgiving dinner after our mani-pedis. I know I said I'm not stressing out, I told her, opening my closet. But this is different. This is my outfit, and I want something that screams, I'm totally happy with myself and totally over you. And look at what you're missing out on now, Noah Flynn, Rachel added with a sly smile. Well, that too. She laughed and settled down comfortably at the foot of my bed. Okay, so what are the options? I pulled out one dress which I'd bought about a year ago that was mustard yellow and had long sleeves and a figure-hugging skirt. Rachel pulled a face. So not a fan. It looks like dog puke. What? But it's such a fall color. And I'm sure you can do better. Next. I pulled out a floaty black blouse made out of a thin linen. The buttons only did up part way because my boobs had grown since I'd last worn it. I tried it on to show Rachel what I meant. She scrunched her nose up. Hot, but might look like you're trying too hard. And black seems kind of dull for Thanksgiving unless you're going for a classy LBD, like you're in mourning or something. Okay.
I put the blouse back in the closet and pulled out a few more shirts to show her. Too casual, too summery, too brightly and garishly patterned, too conservative, too try-hard. I found another dress buried in the back of my closet, one I'd almost forgotten I owned. I hadn't worn it in a while. "Ooh, cute," Rachel said as I pulled it out. The dress was light cotton and deep burgundy with a scoop neckline and sleeves to my elbows. I pulled it on for Rachel's verdict. "I think we've just found the perfect outfit," Rachel declared. "You think?" I twisted in front of my mirror, examining my legs, butt, waist, and arms in the dress. "Wear it with some cute flats and nice earrings, and Noah will be practically drooling," she assured me. I grinned. That's exactly the look I'm going for. Chapter 20. I smoothed down my skirt, but really it was an excuse to wipe the sweat off my clammy palms. I was breathing shallowly, like I'd been running. I'd been feeling really great this morning while I was getting ready. I'd been feeling so good, in fact, that I'd almost managed to convince myself that I actually was over Noah, and it didn't even bother me to think I'd be seeing him today. I was in the bathroom at the Flynn's for the 100th time in the last hour, since Matthew had gone to get his son and his son's probably girlfriend from the airport. I lifted my arms to check I didn't have pit stains. That was the last thing I needed today. I checked my messages again, even though my phone hadn't buzzed since Levi had texted me a few hours ago to wish me good luck seeing Noah and Amanda today. I kept hoping that a text would appear on my phone from Noah. Nothing serious, no big apology to tell me that he wanted me back, no explanation that he and Amanda were just friends. All I wanted was a message from him that said, "Just to let you know, I'm bringing Amanda home for Thanksgiving. Thought you should know." Because really, that was only polite, wasn't it? He had to have known that I'd heard about it from Lee. I couldn't help but be a little pissed that he didn't even have the courtesy to text me and warn me about it himself. There was a knock on the bathroom door, making me almost drop my cell. "Just a sec." I opened the door and forced a smile for Lee. His face was just full of pity. "Shelly, seriously, you need to stop worrying. It's going to be fine. You'll see him with Amanda and realize he was a dick to you and you deserve better, and you'll be fine." "Mm-hmm. Plus, you look hot," Lee told me. "He'll be wondering how he ever let you go for some boring, preppy goody-two-shoes." I managed an actual smile at that and hugged Lee. How do you always know what to say to make me feel better?
I guess our minds are just so in sync I can't help it. If I were a girl too, I'd bet we'd even have our periods at the exact same time.
I pulled away from the hug to see Lee grinning at me, his blue eyes gleaming. His freckles weren't so prominent anymore, I noticed. They'd faded away a bit. He'd built up more muscle lately, being part of the football team. He'd also stopped going to their parties so much, which seemed to help him not act like such a jackass. I ruffled his hair, which he'd painstakingly, artfully messed up with product this morning, and he yelped in protest, batting me away.
"Mercy, mercy," he exclaimed,
and I laughed, backing away.
"Are you seeing Rachel today?"
"I'm going over this evening, after dinner. But only if you're okay. I told her I might not, if you want me to stick around here. If things are weird with you and Noah. And Amanda." She totally understood, though.
I shrugged. "With any luck, it won't be. And then you can go see Rachel." Lee smiled at me, but it wasn't impish anymore. It was sad.
"You know I'm always here when you need me, Elle."
"I know." I hugged him again, and then we heard,
"Oh, not interrupting anything, am I?"
It was one of Lee's aunties, Maureen, who was raising her eyebrows at us like she'd just caught us making out or something, instead of hugging. Lee crossed his eyes at me, and I bit back a giggle.
"Can I just get through to the bathroom, dear?"
"Sorry," I said, stepping away from Lee and out of the way of the bathroom door.
all yours. Maureen smiled at us conspiratorially and shut the bathroom door behind her. Maureen had been convinced for years that Lee and I would end up married with a dozen kids. She told us so every Christmas. I guess we should go downstairs, see if your mom needs any help, I told Lee. June always said she found making Thanksgiving dinner fun, but from the stressed beyond belief look on her face when we walked into the steamy kitchen, you'd never have guessed it. She snapped at us to make sure the table was laid properly, that there were enough knives and forks and plates and chairs, enough placemats and empty glasses and napkins. And was the wine in the fridge? Could someone please check? The usual crowd was here. On Matthew's side of the family, Lee's grandparents, Auntie Maureen, Uncle Pete and his new wife Linda, but not Pete's kids because they were spending this Thanksgiving with their mom in Nevada. On June's side of the family, Lee's grandma and Auntie Rose and Uncle Colin, as well as their kids Hillary, who was 15 and going through what her mom called a goth phase, and Liam, who was Brad's age and happy to spend all day with Brad talking about video games, but kept trying to persuade him that reading was just as much fun. Thanksgiving was always totally chaotic. There was no other way to describe it. It was a bigger affair than Christmas at the Flynn household because of all the extra family members. Christmas was usually just us, without the grandparents and aunties and uncles and cousins. Uncle Pete and Auntie Rose were helping June in the kitchen, and Linda was standing off to the side, trying not to get in the way. This was only her second Thanksgiving with us, so I didn't blame her for still feeling a little out of place. But she caught my eye as I scooted out to the dining room, and I smiled. She drifted after me while I laid out the cutlery, swirling the wine around in her glass. Lee said something about getting more spoons and left. Linda was about 10 years younger than Pete, closer to mine and Lee's age than to Pete's. I heard you and Noah split up. Yeah, I said. I hadn't really talked to Linda much, not one-on-one anyway. I mean, she was nice, sure, but I didn't feel comfortable telling her all the ins and outs of the breakup. It's probably for the best, she told me, sipping her wine. She leaned down to straighten a knife. When I went to college, I was about 4 hours away from the college my boyfriend at the time was going to. We'd been together since the 10th grade, but we just couldn't hack it. Not that far apart. I think you did the right thing to call it off. I tried to keep my relationship going. We tried to see each other every weekend, and my grades suffered for it. But after a while, there wasn't any relationship to keep going. I'm sorry, I said, because I didn't know what else to say. Linda shrugged and sipped more wine. I got over it. I'm just saying, you will too, even if it seems hard right now. Thanks, I said sincerely. I appreciate it. Kind of an asshole move for him to bring his bit on the side home, though, Linda said, then grinned and winked at me. But don't tell June I said that. I laughed. My lips are sealed.
What are you two gossiping about?
Pete asked, walking in and going straight to kiss his wife on the cheek. Oh, just girl stuff, Linda said passively. Pete nodded like this was a very comprehensive answer. Then he looked at me.
You feeling okay about seeing Noah, kiddo?
He was always calling us kiddo. He even called Noah kiddo. Yeah, I guess so. I knew I'd have to see him if things didn't work out right from the start. Elle's a tough girl, Lee pitched in, coming back into the room. She can handle anything. Pete laughed, and June yelled from the kitchen to ask where the hell he'd disappeared to. The carrots were burning.
Better go, he said,
disappearing out of the